Before we get started, a quick disclosure. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Nothing you hear is a recommendation to buy or sell any investment. And with that, hello and welcome to the Rangeley Capital Podcast. This is a weekly 15-minute long podcast, and the clock starts now. I'm Andrew Walker, a portfolio manager here at Rangeley Capital, and with me as always is my co-host and the founder of Rangeley Capital, Chris DeMuth. It is Tuesday, December 2nd, and today we're having a little bit of a different podcast. We're talking about our stock pick of the year for Rangeley Capital. It's Arlas Pharmaceuticals. And Chris, why don't you kind of take it away with an overview of the company?
Well, we have a favorite idea for 2016 that doesn't exist, or at least it doesn't exist yet. This is the new name. And by the way, Andrew, if we ever need to go into a different business line, I'd love to be in the business that gets paid $1 million
for
come
naming
up
things.
With names, because
yep.
I can name things. You need a symbol that looks aerodynamic and a name that sounds a little exotic, but not too exotic. So in this case, it is a combination of Posen and Tribute.
Ooh, go ahead.
And our timer liked my idea, or didn't like my idea. This is a pharmaceutical company. It's gotten hit badly by an ugly combination of sell-off in the industry with concern about tax inversions and Hillary Clinton all wrapped into kind of a ball in the last few months. And so there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yep, absolutely. So I think most people who are kind of really plugged into the investment world know maybe 2 months ago now, the Turing Pharma with jacking their prices up from $16 to $750 came out. There was this huge Valiant thing. Hillary Clinton sent out a tweet, and stock prices for a lot of big specialty pharmaceutical companies came down kind of 50% over the course of a month. And these guys were definitely wrapped up in that.
With Turing, I think it was really a combination of the price increase and the haircut. I think he could have done one or the other, but the combination just made him such an unlikable person that that he couldn't have done. He should have decided ahead of time to do just one of those things.
So Arlas is getting formed between a merger between Posen and Tribute.
Yes.
And the merger will be an inversion. So why don't you kind of describe what an inversion is?
An inversion is an accounting technique in which a company, typically an American company, merges into a foreign company, even perhaps a smaller one, but that it is then re-domiciled in a country with a lower tax rate.
Yep.
If you were an American looking for a country with a lower tax rate as a corporation, that would be any company in the world.
Any country in the world, yeah.
You could do an inversion into the second least worst. And it would be a tax inversion. You could go to Japan with a 37% rate, and you would save money. The average of the OECD is about 25%. The U.S. government takes about 39% of your stuff, and countries such as Ireland take 12.5% and are negotiating a major cut from there.
So typically when you hear inversion in the past couple of years, that has meant a company is merging with a foreign company and they're going to go to Ireland because of that low tax rate. So Pfizer is trying to merge with Allergan right now and they'll go to Ireland. Many of the big pharma companies already are in Ireland. So Endo is out there, a couple others. But so that's, they're trying to do an inversion. They might not be able to go to Ireland. They might have to go to the low tax rate of Canada now. So that's what the merger will do. Why don't you describe kind of our background with the company's management? Because I think the management team is really what we're betting on here.
Sure. Adrian Adams is the CEO. He was given a job offer to manage both these companies.
Yeah, so both Tribute and Posen, who will form our alliance.
And so he kind of came up with the idea. He said yes to both, essentially. not literally. He's the CEO of one, but he had the idea to put these together. In terms of his background, he's an interesting character. He's a deal guy. He's well known in this industry. I followed him for many years. Coast Pharma. He got a 56% premium over the pre-deal price, sold it to Abbott. Sepracor was a slouch. He only got a 28% premium, sold a Sepracor. Inspire Pharma, he sold to Merck, 26% premium. Auxilium, and I neglect to have a good Auxilium joke right now, but I really should.
So Adrian has been the CEO of four previous publicly traded companies, and all were sold for premiums to big pharma companies. The last one was Auxilium, and Chris and I know Auxilium well. It was one of the best, our best ideas for 2014, and they made some really fun drugs. There was an erectile dysfunction drug that you could take with alcohol, which most erectile dysfunction drugs you can't. There was a drug for Peyronie's disease, which I do not recommend you Google imaging, but the fact that I've said don't do it means you probably will, so we can just leave it there. But so he's sold four companies beforehand and for huge premiums.
Just, I have to stick on this for one more second.
I know what you're
somebody
saying.
From Washington that I should say is famously suffered by at least one former president, as has been described
under oath.
Sold to Endo for a 47% premium. In any event, he's a moneymaker, he's a deal guy, he's somebody who I like and trust. He's done this before. And he is a smart, wealthy, successful guy. He didn't really need any of this hassle. He sought this out. So he's somebody who put himself in this situation. And then just in this past week, bought a very large chunk of stock as well.
Yep. Yeah,
so that's the situation, Andrew?
Yeah, so I think you're right. 2 or 3 weeks ago, he bought, I think it was 1 million shares, $6.5 million, which in the open market, that's one of the largest open market purchases by a CEO I've ever seen, and that's unadjusted for size, considering this is a $250-300 million market cap company. That's huge. So agree with you, think he's a great manager. I'll kind of cover what they do, if that's okay with you. Yep. So Arles combined is going to be a specialty pharmacy company focused on cardiovascular and pain. So for our listeners who don't know, a specialty pharmacy company, they're a little bit different than your typical large pharma company in that they don't really invest much in R&D for new drugs. Instead, what they're going to do is they're going to go buy developed drugs or drugs that have been approved and are about to launch. And they're just going to focus on marketing them, maximizing their sales, maximizing their profits. And the theory behind this has been, traditionally a lot of R&D was it's risky and it hasn't really given a return for that risk. So cut that out, let someone else do it, and just buy products, and you'll make a lot of money. Arles's main assets, kind of aside from the management team, are coming from Posen. It's a royalty on Vimovo, and then a phase three drug, Yosprala. And both of these are combination drugs. And what they are is they're a combination of a non-steroid anti-inflammatory, like aspirin, and then that's wrapped in a proton pump inhibitor, like Prilosec. So the kind of theory behind these is you take a proton pump. If you're taking an NSAID, a non-steroid anti-inflammatory like aspirin, all the time, you can develop ulcers. If you take a proton pump inhibitor 30 minutes before the aspirin, then you can stop from getting ulcers. But the issue is you have to take one pill and then another. These drugs are combo drugs that combine the pills into one. You take them and it greatly improves compliance. So greatly improves compliance, much more convenient. There's tons of evidence that suggests this. Kind of if you look at taking a proton pump inhibitor before an aspirin, it can cut down on ulcers by anywhere from 50 to 90%. If you look at people who are prescribed proton pump inhibitors separately from aspirin, they generally stop taking the proton pump inhibitor because it's very difficult to take the two separate drugs. Like 16,500 people a year die from ulcers from taking chronic aspirin. So there's definitely value to combining these two drugs. We think the market for Yosprala could be huge. The company has estimated that it'll peak in sales at over $200 million, and we think that could be conservative. Vimovo, which they have the royalties to, and Duexis are two very comparable drugs, and they're currently doing more than $150 million in sales. And Vimovo is kind of Nexium plus Aleve. Duexis is ibuprofen plus Pepcid. Yosprala is aspirin plus Prilosec. So we think that could be a much bigger drug. Those are the two assets we see. Chris, I see you've got a smile on your face.
It reminds me in the SkyMall catalog of things that are combined in funny combinations.
Yeah.
A football with an alarm clock in it or so forth. Then they could have a SkyMall catalog pharma product.
I think making a drug might be more difficult than SkyMall, though.
Fair enough. So the deal, we think it's going to be pushed. It's going to be pushed into Q1 since this is our best idea for next year. It'll keep the stock price down a little bit longer so we get a good cost basis credit for this idea, just because they're going to move the domicile from what would have been Ireland to Canada.
It was originally supposed to close this month. Because of the inversion crackdown, they'll invert to Canada, probably close sometime Q1 of next year. Yep.
I'm not that concerned. Things in the SEC review and so forth, there's a million reasons why things take slightly longer than expected, and almost no reasons why things are faster than expected. So kind of par for the course, and they're still making progress on other things. Yisrael, we think, has an extremely good chance of getting approved next year based on our own information and judgment, combined with that of Adrian Adams. You know, he believes that he can get this done. He was able to do a lot of due diligence before he took the job and before he made a significant investment. QLT, which we will talk about separately another day, and Deerfield are providing financing for the deal. They're very good. So unless Deerfield, QLT, Rangeley, and Adrian Adams are hopelessly wrong about this, we should have a good FDA news. There's no safety issue and there's no efficacy issue, and we're talking about safety and efficacy. So
just to give listeners a little more background, Yisrala, currently it's waiting. The FDA has given a warning letter to their aspirin supplier, and they need that to be cleared up before they can launch. All of their documents suggest it will launch in 2016. It's obviously a big uncertainty, but you know, as part of the merger, they estimated in their kind of merger documents, they think there's 100% chance this is successfully launched. Adrian thinks it's successfully launched or else he doesn't take the job. QLT Deerfield think it's successfully launched or else they don't finance it. So absolutely agree.
Of the assets, we get to about $10, somewhere between $10 and $11, but about $10 per share of value. You can set it up today by either Posen or by Tribute. You know, you look at that and say, geez, depending on how much you want to put to work, Posen's a bit more liquid. The Tribute actually has a bit of a discount, yep. Last I checked, to the value. So
Arles will be formed between Posen and Tribute in a share-for-share merger. You can create it by buying either Tribute shares, yep, or Posen shares, and Tribute kind of trades at a discount to where the implied ratio for Posen. So, yep.
Exactly. And ultimately, if all goes well, it's extremely likely this is a deal target. There are natural buyers that Adrian Adams knows well. He doesn't need our help with this. If we were activists, we would put somebody like him in charge of a company like this. But a company such as Horizon would be a natural buyer, a good fit for both the MOBO royalties and the overlap in the sales force. You could take out a lot of costs.
Yep, absolutely. I think another thing we like is in the near term, they'll have a lot of cash, and we obviously like that Adrian is kind of an expert at M&A. So in the short term, he's a buyer. In the long term, he's a seller, I think, is kind of how we think about it.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, so what could go wrong? I think the first thing that pops to mind is Spirala is a lot of the value here. That could fail. You know, the FDA could keep it held up forever. Obviously, we think our due diligence, Adrian's due diligence, QLT's, Deerfield's, everything suggests that it's going to go through, but you never say 100%. The merger could fall through. So originally, it was supposed to close kind of in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Because of the crackdown inversion, they're going to push that out to Q1. You know, anytime a merger is out there, it can fail until the day it closes. So it could fall apart. I think all the parties are committed to it. They put out a press release last week that said they're still committed to the deal. The deal makes a lot of strategic sense, which I think is the one thing you really hold your hat on when you're investing in a merger. Chris is nodding his head furiously yes, because we've seen very non-strategic deals fall through.
I always like a piece of paper forcing you to do something that you desperately want to do if nobody is looking, as opposed to a piece of paper that will cost you a lot of money if you follow the rules.
Exactly. You know, there are other things that could happen. I think they're going to pursue an M&A strategy, which is always risky. They'll be buying smaller companies. You know, there's a risk they overpay, those companies fail. But again, we trust the capital allocator here. And kind of the last risk is Yisrala and Momovo are where a lot of their value is coming from. Those patents could be challenged, in which case, you know, we think they last till kind of mid-2020s to 2030. And while you have a patent, you obviously generate kind of excess profits. If we are wrong and the patents end tomorrow, say, then our estimate of the value is going to be kind of wildly overstated there. So Those are the big risk. I think they're typical in investing in any merger candidate or any pharmaceutical company. But overall, I think you're very well rewarded. It's with the management. And, you know, a lot of times we'll do research and come to a conclusion and we have to hang our head on that. In this case, three or four investors who we respect have done the research and come to the same conclusion as us, which I think is very attractive. Chris, I think we're kind of got 30 seconds, a minute left. Anything else you want to say on this? Or
as Charlie says, when Warren's done, I have nothing to add.
I have nothing to add either. So this was published on Seeking Alpha today as our idea of the year. If you want to read more, obviously it's tough to tell everything either in print form or especially when you talk. But if you want to read a more detailed description, you can look Chris up on Seeking Alpha and find his write-up. It was Ranger Capital's best idea of the year for 2016. If you like our ideas in general, please follow Chris and I on Seeking Alpha. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud. If you already subscribed, please recommend it to a friend who you think would be interested. That's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next week when we'll be discussing my idea of the year, which will have a little in common with this idea of the year. Have a good one.